This is a special edition of Macro Voices with hedge fund manager Eric Townsend, the premier financial podcast targeting professional finance, high net worth individuals, family offices, and other sophisticated investors. Now, for this special edition of Macro Voices, here's hedge fund manager Eric Townsend.
Macro Voices All-Stars episode number 42 was recorded on August 5th, 2019. I'm Eric Townsend. All-Star Brent Johnson is back with us today. Brent, you and I, the way I feel about it anyway, we were both proven right about the U.S. dollar for all of about 22 hours. And then President Trump intervened and intervened big with the China tweet, and things have gone the opposite direction. And I guess what's on my mind is, on one hand, I think we did have the analysis about what was happening with the dollar right. But if President Trump is going to act, according to reports, completely against the advice of almost all of his advisors and do whatever it takes to prevent the dollar from moving higher, that's a pretty big headwind for our view. So what are your thoughts? Do we revisit how we feel about the dollar? What do you think?
So my short answer is no. I am still very much in the camp that the dollar is going to go higher. Not because I think that Trump's going to back off. He'll probably continue to do what he does. I don't think that Trump's going to come out and unilaterally ask Mnuchin to artificially devalue the dollar lower. I think there's a lot of reasons, both political and financial, that he will not do that. But that does not mean that he's not going to get on Twitter and, you know, state his case. And it doesn't mean he's not going to give sound bites here and there, you know, saying that we need the dollar weaker. So I think he's going to continue to jawbone things. But, you know, the dollar had a big move last week. It broke out on the monthly chart, and it has since given that back up, and we're right where we were a week ago. But I don't feel like where we were a week ago was a bad place. And then when you consider what China did overnight with letting the yuan weaken through the 7 level, that is a huge, huge event. And it just shows me that, you know, there's going to be a bigger scramble for dollars than many people realize there's going to be. You know, make no mistake, that was not an accident that went through 7. That has been a number that has been widely, widely heralded as kind of a Rubicon as such. And the fact that China let it go through there as kind of a retaliation to Trump's retaliation just shows that this thing is heating up, not heating down. And when things really heat up, the world still needs dollars. So I'm standing by my dollar case. I don't think it's going to be easy. I don't think it's going to go in a straight line. But when push comes to shove, the world still needs dollars.
Brent, we've had quite a few guests on this program who are very expert on the Hong Kong dollar and have assured our audience that, look, the Hong Kong Monetary Authority has just plenty of ammunition to defend their peg. Now, as we're speaking on Monday morning, the peg on the Hong Kong dollar has been broken. But, of course, it could be that the HKMA just hasn't intervened yet. Do you think the peg is safe, or is the Hong Kong dollar going to follow suit with the yuan and move lower against the U.S. dollar?
Well, in my opinion, there's no question that it's going to move lower. I had not seen that it had broken the peg yet, but the Hong Kong dollar is going to follow the Chinese, and the Hong Kong dollar may ultimately even go before the Chinese yuan. You know, to me, this is one of the best trades in the world. If you have a way that you can short Hong Kong, you know, I think earlier this year I tweeted out, if you can find a better short than Hong Kong, you know, I can't find it. So I definitely think that despite all the protestations to the contrary, you know, you've even seen the guy who designed the peg in the last month or so come out and say Hong Kong is in good shape. I just think they're completely wrong. Listen, this currency war is just getting started. Things are going to get crazy. Today is a crazy day. There's going to be many more crazy days ahead, but I think it's just getting started. And I think that the dollar is the key to everything. You know that I'm kind of, you know, just kind of beating my same drum, but I still believe it.
Let's talk about the FOMC. I think you lost a bet. You and I were both on stage with Peter Schiff when you guys bet a gold coin. Peter thought the next move would be a cut. You thought it might be a hike. And Peter won that one. So this is definitely not what you were expecting, at least back when we were in Vancouver in January. How has your view on Fed policy and where we're headed? Do you think there's more cuts coming? It seems like Powell went out of his way to say that there weren't, but a lot of people think there are. What's your take on the outlook for the Fed and for monetary policy?
Well, I think you got to kind of separate it out a little bit about what we were talking about in January in Vancouver. So, you know, to be very clear, in January in Vancouver, at the time, I thought that most likely the next move would be a hike. Peter, as you referenced, thought it would be lower. And, you know, for a number of reasons, things have changed since January. Now, I got to give Peter credit. He made a good call. I made a bad call. You know, this is a game with big boy rules, and when you lose, you pay up. So, you know, I tweeted out the other day that a congratulations to Peter Schiff. He made a good call. Now, does that mean that he made the call for the right reasons? You know, that's for others to decide. One of the other things I said in Vancouver was that I thought the market was going to go much higher this year, and he disagreed with that. And, you know, the market's up 15, 16% for the year. So, you know, one thing I think you got to realize when you're talking to people in the markets, you're never going to get it 100% right. That's foolish to think that you're going to. You need to get more right than you get wrong. But the only thing I can promise my listeners is if you listen to me long enough, I'm going to say things that are wrong because that's just part of the game. But, you know, as we moved further into the year, it became pretty clear that the global economy was slowing down. I still don't think the U.S. economy has slowed down that much, but the global economy has definitely started slowing down. And I think that's largely what the cut was in reference to. And I think Powell, even to a certain extent, insinuated that the rate cut was more, you know, due to global conditions rather than U.S. conditions. But listen, the global economy is definitely slowing. I think if you don't believe that, then you're just walking around with your eyes closed. And the U.S. Fed, for better or for worse, is to a certain extent the, you know, central bank for the world. And I think they felt that they had to cut in order to keep the global economy from just going into a tailspin. I think that's going to happen anyway. And that's part of my thesis where when things get really bad abroad, it's going to eventually be good for the U.S. And I think that's what's going to push the dollar higher. And I think it's what's going to push U.S. asset prices higher. Now, what I've also said on several occasions is that even if I turn out to be right, which, listen, I am not going to get this 100% right, but if my thesis largely plays out as being correct, that does not mean that there is not going to be moments of sure terror along the way. You know, look at the Dow today is down 2%. You know, the dollar sold off a little bit, probably in anticipation of Trump making some more comments or, you know, the Fed going more dovish short term. But these are all short-term moves. You know, one day does not make a trend. This is going to be a crazy couple of years. And, you know, if you cannot stand the volatility, you should find a mountaintop to move to and just don't look at your phone or TV for 2 years because it's gonna be crazy.
Let's move on to a really crazy topic, which is gold. It looked after the FOMC like gold was getting ready to tank. And boy, as soon as the Trump tweet came out, not only did we get back to the top of this consolidation range, but we are breaking very decisively out of it this morning. As we're recording on Monday morning, I'm looking, and we actually just broke 1480 as we were speaking. I won't be surprised if we've broken 1500 by the time our listeners hear this interview. Is it time to say, okay, the hesitations that you and I have had, and to remind any listeners who are not familiar with our previous interviews, we both agree that gold is going to be the asset to own in the long term. We just didn't think it was quite time yet. We thought maybe there was room for gold to move down before it moved up. It's moving up, and it's moving up hard. Is it time to just throw in the towel and pile in, or is it time to wait and see if maybe this reaction is a knee-jerk that's going to give us a better buying opportunity lower?
Well, let me say this a couple ways, Eric. As you said, gold is going to be the asset of the future. I'm probably more bullish on the long-term prospects for gold than just about anybody. For the last 10 years, I've pounded the table that everybody should have gold in their portfolio, right? So any of my comments on gold over the last year, 2 years, 3 years about maybe it's not yet time, and never once did I say people should not own gold. Now, earlier this year, you know, I said we needed to get through the 1360 to 1370 range, and then we needed to see, you know, a month or so close above 1400. Well, we're kind of there. And so it might be time, but let me be very clear. The time to buy gold was a year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Today is not. If you don't own any gold, then yeah, you should start looking to buy some gold, whatever the price is. But if you already own gold and you already have it in your portfolio, I don't think today is the day to be adding to it. Listen, it would not surprise me at all if tomorrow the yuan is back below 7 and the Dow's up 500 points and the dollar moves up a little bit because Trump's back. You know, this is going to be volatile. But buying gold today is a little bit like, you know, putting on turning on the water hose after your house is already burned down. I mean, gold's up $200 in the last 6 months. You know, so I don't think you rush out and buy it all today. I don't think that I don't think we're necessarily going to 1600 or 1700 in the next 2 weeks. Is it possible? Of course it's possible. That's why I own gold. That's why I think everybody should own gold. You always need your insurance policy. But, you know, like I said, I don't think that you chase it right here if you already own it. Now, if you already own it, you should be, you know, feeling pretty good that you already own it and it's up doing well. And when we start to get some pullbacks, I still think that we will at least retest the breakout zone of, you know, 1380 to 1400 level. We did it pretty hard right after the FOMC. You know, gold went down to 1400 and bounced very hard. And now we're at 1470 or 80, whatever the number is. It would not surprise me at all if we go back and at least test that number again. I think we likely will. But you know what, Eric, if we don't, I will say that I'm wrong. I got that one wrong, and I will be very glad that I've owned gold since it was below 1,000. And, you know, we'll move forward. I mean, being wrong is part of this business. I'm going to get it wrong sometimes, but, you know, I would not be adding to gold right here.
Let's talk about the stock market. The last couple of times that there has been a Donald Trump-induced re-escalation of trade wars, the moves down in the stock market ended up fully retracing, but they were pretty significant to the downside. It wasn't just a little overnight blip like we had after the FOMC meeting. As we're speaking on Monday morning, the market is basically nosediving straight down. We took out 2,900 overnight, and I'm looking at about 2,960 as we're speaking at this moment. Do you think that there's going to be a really big move down in reaction to this trade war re-escalation, or are we right on the cusp of retracing?
You know what? I actually think that the market's going to bounce here, but it doesn't mean that we're out of the woods. I don't think that we're going to fall another 1,000 points in the next day or two. Now, could we? Of course we can. That's like, you know, when people say what they think is going to happen in the markets, none of this stuff is absolute, right? Anything can happen. But I think likely what happens is we get some very volatile days, and maybe the next couple of weeks are very volatile in both directions. And as you know, I think equity prices in the U.S. are going higher, not because things are good, but because things are bad. But I think whatever happens, the next 2 or 3 weeks are going to be very volatile. And then we're going to have to kind of see if there's further follow through with the Chinese yuan, or if they try to rein it back in a little bit. My guess is that China will try to rein the fall in the yuan back a little bit. I don't think they're going to let it just fall precipitously right here. But ultimately, I think that they will fail. I hope, if nothing else, I hope what's going on today makes people realize that all the stuff that we've been talking about for the last, I don't know, whether you want to call it 2 months or 2 years or 10 years, is kind of coming to a head. You know, the monetary system is not in good shape. The global economy is not in good shape. I think we're moving towards a sovereign debt crisis. And I think when that sovereign debt crisis really picks up, the dollar is going to be one of the biggest beneficiaries. And I think gold will ultimately be one of the beneficiaries as well. As you and I have said, I'm just not sure that right now that it's going to be the time that it's the biggest beneficiary.
Well, Brent, I can't thank you enough for another fantastic interview. We look forward to getting you back in a few weeks for another update. Meanwhile, listeners, stay tuned to your Macro Voices feed. We've got Ronnie Sterfele, who is the principal author of In Gold We Trust. So we're going to have a lot more gold coverage coming up for you this week on Macro Voices. For the Macro Voices Podcast Network, I'm Eric Townsend.
That concludes this edition of Macro Voices. Be sure to tune in each week to hear feature interviews with the brightest minds in finance and macroeconomics. Please register your free account at macrovoices.com. Once registered, you'll receive our free weekly research roundup email containing links to supporting documents from our featured guests and the very best free financial content our volunteer research team could find on the internet each week. You'll also gain access to our free research library. And the more registered users we have, the more we'll be able to recruit high-profile feature interview guests for future programs. So please register your free account today at macrovoices.com if you haven't already. You can subscribe to Macro Voices on iTunes to have Macro Voices automatically delivered to your mobile device each week free of charge. Macro Voices is presented for informational and entertainment purposes only. The information presented on Macro Voices should not be construed as investment advice. Always consult a licensed investment professional before making investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed on Macro Voices are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of the show's hosts or sponsors. Macro Voices, its producers, sponsors, and hosts, Eric Townsend, shall not be liable for losses resulting from investment decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on Macro Voices.